You know, I believe I could sing that song again that we just sung. That's a good song, isn't it? Some great songs that our praise team has led us in this morning. And we're going to sing another song at the end of service. It's not, you normally wouldn't see it on the Christmas schedule, but yet we claim and cry out Messiah. And so we're going to sing that song in just a little while. And speaking of songs, I asked the earlier service, how many have heard, I believe it is brand new, I believe it is brand new this Christmas season, and it's sung by Becky Kelly. Her dad is accompanying her on the piano, and it is called, Where's the Line to See Jesus? How many have heard of it? A few of you. Good. Good. Well, let me tell the rest of you, you can find it on YouTube. And I suppose you can find it in bookstores, I don't know. But this song touched my heart this week when I was listening to it. Actually, I think somebody sent it to me a week or so ago on the computer, and I listened to it. And this song kind of reminds me of today, and it kind of reminds me that God's people at Christmas time, well, we just got to put our priorities in line. This song is a song, and it could be about Becky herself, that goes into the mall, and she sees all the hustle and bustle of the mall. She sees the shoppers, and she sees the things in the mall, and she sees this line, and this line is folks getting their picture with Santa. And in the song, as she's observing and taking all this in, a little fella comes along to her, and he comes up to her, and apparently this little fella is aware of the Word of God, and he's aware of the Christmas season and the birth of Jesus, and he says to her, but where's the line to see Jesus? And I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about that a great deal. And you know, most of you know, I'm not completely opposed to other things at Christmas, although I suspect some of you could debate that some. But what I am opposed to, brothers and sisters, is opposition to Jesus at Christmas time. And let's just say, our culture today has made it relatively easy to slip in a substitution or two for Jesus at this time of year. And with this new song, I've been reminded a lot of Christmas. And I've been thinking, Jim, I will apply it to myself first, and then I will challenge you secondly. If there were a line to see Jesus, and a line for something else, and a line for something else, which line would I find myself in? Inadvertently, maybe even unawares. Which line am I going to find myself in? Let me ask you another question. Who has heard of the lost boys from Africa? Almost nobody. Wow, that's really something. Let me tell you real quickly. The lost boys from Africa are real boys that spent a great deal of time in refugee camps in Africa, some of them in Darfur, some of them very, very difficult regions, war-torn, murder and mayhem all about them, gathered up like cattle, thrown into these large refugee camps, some of them with literal fences around them. But within those confines, somebody was teaching them about Jesus. And some of those young boys got a chance to come to America. Churches like ours took them in and said, we will take four or five of them. We will provide for them jobs. We will find apartments for them, get them to their job, get them going. And so these boys literally come to America, and they spread out, some here, some there. And when they got here, they had the old cameras right on them to observe these boys, teenagers. And so they were in the mall. I think this one group of boys was in New York City. And they were in the mall, and they were looking at all the activities that were there. And they were looking at these figures that were there. And they saw this big TV. I think I've got it right anyway. I watched it a year or so ago. They saw this big TV, and it's talking about Santa. And they see the lines, and they see the figures, and they looked at each other with the cameras rolling, unscripted. They look at each other because they have been told about Christmas as the birth of Christ. And they look at each other, and they said, they see this big TV and this big Santa on TV, and they said, is that in the Bible? They were serious. They knew Christmas to be about the birth of Jesus, not about something else. And I wonder, friends, as I get caught up in the busyness and the weightiness and the hustle and the bustle and the things that go on with Christmas, I wonder, what line do I find myself in? I want to read for you a couple of pieces of Scripture that I know are very familiar to you. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And if you have your Bible and would like to follow along, that would be wonderful. Or if you'd like to follow along on the big screen, it will be there. I'm reading from the New Living Translation today. Luke chapter 2. Very, very common set of verses for Christmas. Beginning at verse 8, it says this. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby. We sing about that night, don't we? When we sing, Oh Holy Night. When we sing about Silent Night. That night, the Bible says, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, this angel told these shepherds, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, the Bible says, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. Can you envision this? Have you got the flavor of perhaps a million angels on the scene all of a sudden? There was one. That scared them bad enough. And now there's multitudes of angels crying and shouting, Glory to God in the highest. I think of the Hallelujah Chorus. That's what I think of. I love that song. Gives me goosebumps. And I think of these angels shouting glory to God in the highest. Why? Because the Savior has come. The Messiah has come. Humanity's redemption draweth nigh. That's why the angels in heaven rejoiced. And they cried out in peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. Verse 15. Excuse me. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, Let's go to Bethlehem. Not a bad idea. Seeing how the angels just told them the events there, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Verse 16 says, They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. It was just as the angel had told them. And when I read this story, friends, I think I have an idea what line they got in. I think I had an idea what line they find themselves in at Christmas. Middle of the night, left their livelihood, left the sheep with who knows who, maybe to the open elements, I don't know, dashed off to town to see Jesus. No party in town, not even a blue light special. They just dashed off to see Jesus. That was enough. That was enough to see the Master lying there in a manger. Matthew chapter 2. We looked at some of these verses last week, but I want to read some of them and a few others today. Matthew chapter 2. Verse 1 says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him. Verse 9, jump down there. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. Why? Because a long time before, I don't know, months, could have been a year, could have been a year and a half, when you consider the conversation that they had with Herod, well, when did you see the star? And you consider the results of what Herod did when he killed everybody in Bethlehem from 2 years old and down. They were coming a long time. They were coming for months. And when they were en route, the star was leading them to what and why were they driven? To see this King of the Jews, this baby born in Bethlehem. Oh, they glorified and praised God. They were filled with joy. They entered the house, verse 11 says, and saw the young child, saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. You see, he's no longer in a manger. He's no longer in the stable. It's taken some time for the boys to get there. And so he is in a house. He is now growing. King James calls it saw the young child. He's no longer the infant, but he's starting to be a baby that's growing. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These men traveled, I don't know how long, but for months atop camels or whatever. They paid their way, I suppose, carried their food. They traveled literally for a long, long time. They stopped at nothing. They kept in their pursuit of the star, which pointed them to Jesus, the King of the Jews. I guess I know what line they're into. I guess I know what line they would find themselves in. The shepherds ran to the village, to the stable, to see the baby lying in a manger. 8 days later, you read it in Luke 2, when the baby was gathered up by his parents and brought to the temple to present him to God. A little bit like we did last week in our children dedication. Presented him to God. Old Simeon was there and Anna was there. You can read about that in Luke chapter 2. And they rejoiced and they praised God and they glorified God because they knew this was him. The wise men bowed down, got into the house, and bowed down and worshiped this baby, this King of the Jews. And here's the question I ask myself, friends. Knowing this, thinking about this song, where is the line to see Jesus? Seeing the heart of the shepherds, the tenacity of the wise men, here's what I'm pondering. Has celebrating Christmas, has it become so mundane, so routine, so hurried, that we've forgotten Jesus? Which line do we find ourselves in? which line, and I, like I said earlier, maybe inadvertently, maybe even unawares, where's the line to see Jesus? Or am I in the other line? And I'm not condemning a line to get your picture taken with Santa Claus. Most of you that were here 2 years ago remember I preached about Santa Claus. You remember that, some of you, didn't you? It's on the webpage in case you don't remember it. December 2008. And I'm just wondering, friends, God's people, what line are we in? When it comes to Christmas time, and it comes to running to Bethlehem like the shepherds did, traveling for months, maybe a year, maybe more like the wise men did, all for one reason, to see Jesus. I'm reminded of Isaiah 64 when I think of this Christmas story. You know, Isaiah's heart was heavy. Not maybe as heavy as Jeremiah's, but it was heavy. It was real, real heavy. It was heavy for the demise, the impending doom of the Israelite people. And it was heavy as he labored through the chapters of Isaiah, and he cried out to God's people, repent and come back to God. And we finally get to Isaiah 64, and his heart is still heavy. He's crying out to the people, come back to God. And then he cries out to God. The King James Version says it like this, Isaiah 64, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. The heart of Isaiah. Oh, God, that you would rend the heavens and come down. The New Living Translation says it like this, oh, that you would burst forth from the heavens and come down. How the mountains would quake in your presence if you would. How the mountains would quake if the presence of Almighty God were here. He goes on to say, as fire causes wood to burn and water to boil, your coming would make the nations tremble. Then your enemies would learn the reason for your fame. When you came down long ago, he's referring back to Egypt and to Sinai and to the wanderings in the wilderness. Isaiah is very aware of the presence of God in amongst people. When you came down long ago, you did awesome deeds beyond our highest expectations, and oh, how the mountains quake. Friends, listen to the heart, listen to the words of Isaiah, and ponder it for a moment and ask ourselves, what has happened? He has come down. The heavens have burst forth. The angels have burst forth from the heavenlies, and they have burst forth onto the scene above the shepherds, hovering above them perhaps, shouting praises and glory to God. Heavens have flung back their vastness, and Jesus has come. And so we see the heart of Isaiah crying out, God, we need you, please come. And we're reminded in this Christmas story, friends, Jesus has come. I was reading a little bit this last week about the beginnings of Christmas. And did you know that Christianity, began to celebrate Christmas in about the year 337 A.D. on December 25th. Did you know that? Some of you knew that. This would mean yes. Some of you knew that. This would mean no. Some of you knew that? Nobody knew that. Lana knew it. Good for you. 337 A.D. we began to celebrate December 25th as the birthday of the King. Now, a quick calculation reveals that's 1,673 years ago. So for 1,673 years, we have been celebrating Christmas. We've been celebrating the birth of Christ. May I submit to you, in that time frame, it has gotten congested. It has gotten some congested. It has gotten some watered down. And I don't have to reveal or lay out to you how we've watered it down. I think you're very aware. And I wonder sometimes if we recognize that by Jim or anybody else, as I start to put emphasis on something else, do I realize it's starting to pull emphasis off of Jesus? I wonder about that sometimes. When I began to find myself caught up in the busyness, anxious about this, perhaps anxious about next month's bills, or all the stuff, I wonder if I began to get guilty of congesting Christmas. I wonder if I become then guilty of putting just innocently enough some emphasis on something else, which then takes away from the birth of Jesus. And I have had to challenge myself and tell myself, and I will challenge you the same way, please bear in mind not to get caught up in stuff when we want to celebrate Jesus. Yes, we picked December 25th. It's probably not even the day. Scholars will tell you it was probably April or May, or scholars will tell you it was probably September, October, but it wasn't December 25th. Okay, so we concluded that. You say, Jim, well, why do we worship on 20, or why do we celebrate on the 25th then? Well, there was a holiday. It was, in fact, a pagan holiday, and the Christians of the time decided we needed to offset that with something that gives God some glory. Not a bad idea. And so we celebrate on the 25th, probably not the day he was born. But friends, the 25th is set aside to honor Jesus. Okay? That's why we did it in 337 AD. Set aside to honor Jesus. To give God thanks. The 25th is set aside to give God thanks. Thank you, Father, for your grace in providing to us Jesus. To worship Him like the angels. To run to Him like the shepherds. To fall down and bow before Him like the wise men. This day is to celebrate Jesus. And quite frankly, the world may not be celebrating the birth of Jesus. But followers of Jesus, Christian brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, as we recognize Christ, as we recognize God's goodness, as we recognize our need of Christ, this day is about celebrating Jesus. And we're going to have some fun doing some things. We're going to have some family over. I'm sure you will. We'll have some friends. We'll have some festivities. We'll have all kinds of things. Let us never forget this day is about Jesus. I've been so blessed by so many of you these last 2 or 3 weeks. When I see you offering to help the less fortunate with dinners or presents or money or just some visiting, I've been so blessed by you and your actions this Christmas season. And I'm so blessed to know that some of you take the time to read the Christmas story to your grandbabies or to your children. The story about Jesus. I'm so blessed to know that. And tonight, as I mentioned, our kids are going to have a little old Christmas program. And we're going to celebrate Jesus. And this Friday night, on Christmas Eve, 5 o'clock, we're going to have a Christmas Eve service, and we're going to celebrate Jesus. And I just hope that your fun, your festivities, your celebration will have some time to celebrate the one who's the real author of Christmas. There's one that's the real author of Christmas. His name is Jesus. And I hope and I pray that's the line we find ourselves in this Christmas, the line to worship Jesus. I pray that's the line we get in.